friends. Welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. This week is, we're filming from the past, so you're watching this in the past.
Well, no, you're watching it in the future.
But this is past us.
Yeah. How's it going over there? Good.
Last week was pretty crazy, right?
I don't even know.
How are you doing this week?
Well, it's the same week, so.
Not so good.
So the same, I guess. I'm not, who's to say how I'll be feeling next week?
That's true. I hope by next week I'm doing better. I'm not doing bad. I'm just doing just all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not doing bad. I'm just stressed.
Yeah.
When am I not stressed?
On vacaciones. What was I going to say? A new show I've watched since the last time we filmed. I just finished Ted Lasso. I cried. It was a really good ending. I actually was surprised I liked the ending as much as I did, because there was one character I hated all of season three. And then in the end of it, I was like, never mind. I love him. So I really hope they do a spinoff. I don't know if they will, though.
Yeah. Can't comment on it, but I'm sure it was great. Have no idea.
Still watching Modern Family, okay?
As I should.
Who's your favorite character in Modern Family?
It's a tie between Cam and Phil.
Me too. Those are my favorites. I agree.
It's a tie. They're both so funny.
I know.
It kills
me. Honestly, everyone on the principal cast is really funny.
Everybody is so funny.
But those two are my favorites too.
Same.
Yeah. I always think about how the dad, I tell everyone this that I can. He's a U of O alum. So go Ducks.
Yeah, you've told me multiple times.
I just have to make sure everyone knows. There aren't that many that people know of. So
you're telling me. I don't know anyone who's graduated from my school.
Not one famous person, huh? I bet there's one.
You. Stupid.
But yeah, we're a little stressed. Well, I'm not as stressed. You are really stressed. Does anyone else get like that when it's time to go on vacation? Do you stress the whole week before?
I stress every second of every hour until I get on that plane and I get there. And even then, I have to go and I have to check in and I have to get the car and I have to like... And then I don't stress anymore.
Until then.
Just for good things.
Do you think that's why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's this... other than my mental illness, it's just like my... inability to let go of things.
Sure. Okay.
If I don't plan them, how do I know they're going to work out? And then I plan everything and then I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
Lose.
You did get everything done that you wanted to get done though. Like I didn't.
For the most part.
Like you got your eyebrows done. I didn't.
True.
And I was like, I don't care. That's fine.
True.
I was like, as long as I get my lashes and my nails done, I don't care.
Yeah. I feel that. And I almost didn't get my lashes done, but I got squeezed in by our girl,
Melissa. Shout out, Melissa.
But yeah, I actually got some extra stuff done, which was nice. Mm-hmm.
Bunch of errands.
Yeah, but there was some stuff I did not finish, which I wish I did. And my mom was like, my mom's so funny because she literally was telling me like, you act like there's no stores where we're going. And I'm like, that's true, but still.
You never know.
I just like don't want to have to think about it if I don't like if I get it done now, I won't have to worry about it.
Well, you did. So then even more so, there should be
there's no some stress. Stuff I didn't get done and I'm a little upset about it.
But like what?
I needed to get some toiletries and stuff.
Oh, they don't have those there. That's what I've heard.
That's why my mom was like, you act like there's no stores.
They don't do that there at all. You could land the plane like when we get there and you could Instacart it to your house and it'll be there before we get there.
That is true. As far as I know.
Or you could order it now and schedule it to be delivered. That's what I did. I had groceries delivered to my house. And I gave that guy a big fat tip because he had to carry a case of water up to my
I know. I always tip
beer,
really heavy.
Yeah.
Especially for Instacart. Instacart is like my most used app besides DoorDash. Taking away my responsibility of having to go to the store...
Life changing.
That's
what I feel about
Target. That's a privilege.
That's
what
I feel
sure
about Target drive up orders.
Yep.
But then I realized I can't see everything in Target if I'm on the app. I got to go in.
Yeah. It's like you type in stuff and then I learned that the hard way. Like you type in stuff and you're like, oh my God, that's so cute. I definitely want that. And then you go and it's not available. So then I started sorting by my store and then there's nothing.
I know. Or pickup. We were like, well, this is available online. Well, I need it right now. So.
I want to get rid of that feature. How do I get rid of it where it tells me you could order it? I don't want to order it. Are you fucking dumb?
Yeah.
That's like 2 weeks ago. I tried to be super proactive and order like new, like some more summer clothes. Cause like,
oh yeah,
all of my shit is so old. Like my staples, like jeans and shorts. Like I haven't bought new jeans or shorts in fucking years. Like I don't remember the last time I did, even though I have a bunch of them. Like I'm like a, I just can't throw things away. I need to throw shit out. So like I tried to order a bunch of new stuff from Abercrombie, and literally all of it like was way too big for me because I don't, apparently I was like a fucking idiot when I was putting everything in my cart.
Well, and it's hard to order clothes. I mean, I'm sure everyone can relate to this online,
especially as a bigger girl. Because like
if you're an 18 at this store, I'm a 22 at this store. Like it's yeah, completely different.
Well, and it's just like, especially jeans.
Yeah.
So everyone has told me the Abercrombie like curve love line is like really good for curvy girls.
So you went in store. Do they have them in store?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
They don't have as many though.
I don't want to.
Like
go.
They do online.
I don't want to go then.
Like if they have like 100 online in the store, they have like 30.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So okay, it's not terrible, but like there were, I had way more shorts. So like, this is what I did. I sized up because I assume Abercrombie white girl sizing. So I just, I like added two sizes to what my regular size is.
Two?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because it's jeans.
I know, but I'll do one, not two.
I always do two, especially for jeans.
Yeah.
And even then it sometimes doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Ask me how many Zara jeans I have in there with fucking tags on them.
I know.
Because like I buy them because it's supposed to be my size. It doesn't even go on my legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking stupid. So anyways, ordered a whole bunch of shit. All of it got delivered. None of it fit me.
Yeah.
So then I had to take all of it back to the store and return it. And it was relatively easy at that point.
But you got it all.
I returned it. I almost never returned stuff.
Yeah.
But
that's what you did. Forget. That's what I'm saying.
So I was at least proud of that. So, but the sizing is so real for bigger girls. Like yeah, if you're bigger than an 8, good luck. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Especially buying fucking jeans.
I was an 8 in the 5th grade.
I don't even fucking remember. I remember I was a 0 when I was in 5th grade.
Okay.
No, wait.
What are you showing off?
I thought you said 8th grade.
No, in 5th grade I was an 8.
Mm.
You probably were a 0. You were a little beanpole for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't have your girl spur yet.
For a little. That's true.
So
that's
probably
true. That's true.
I don't think I've ever been a 0.
I was only a 0. I think I remember it being a 0. I remember because our mom had bought me a promotion outfit for my 5th grade promotion. Mm-hmm. And I only remember it was a 0 because I remember thinking, what a stupid size number. Like, that's not even a number. I mean, 0 is a number, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? Me being like, how illogical. You
know what I'm saying? Numerically speaking. Yeah.
Technically, logistically speaking.
I know one time mommy was at the store and she was buying bathing suits and she was FaceTiming me. This was recently.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, do you like any of these? And I'm like, I want that one. It's so cute. It's Blue Crush Core. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what size are those bottoms? She goes, oh, it's an extra small. I'm like, oh, well, if they had a double extra small, that would fit me. But
just the look.
Extra small is way too big for me. Sorry, dude. I can't.
Isn't that just the look?
What do you think extra small bathing suit bottoms would look like?
This.
No, I'm saying on your body.
They wouldn't even get on my body.
I don't even think you'd see them. I put them on.
You don't see them? They'd be on. They'd like be on modeled on my ankles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd pull them up and it would go like.
Yeah.
Like then when it's the seams are tearing and then it would just.
That's my favorite way to wear my shirts. I bend down and put my knees in them. Or I put my fists in them and like real push out. Rip all the seams.
Billy good. He hates when I do this, but I'm someone who hates having to try shit on.
Yeah.
So like, I'll just like put one leg in. Like I'll put one leg
okay,
in.
Okay, but she's not describing it. We're at the store. So let's just say we're at Target.
Yeah.
She wants to try on these jeans, but she doesn't want to go to the dressing room.
Yeah.
So she's fully dressed in the store. She'll stick her fully dressed leg in the jean pant leg.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the store.
And I'll pull it up and I'll know if it'll fit me. And then you save time. That's why I'm like, I'm all about efficiency. So
you
like,
you know that like myth?
I'm not stripping down to my skivvies if it, they're not even going to go up my fucking ass. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, I know. Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I agree.
I have one leg. Even sometimes I'll go like this.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, nope.
Nope.
I'll put my hand in the jean leg and I'll go like this.
Yeah.
Like, nope. Nope. And that's how you know that's the life of a bigger girl, dude. Like,
you know that thing where they're like, oh, if you take the waist of the pants and put them around your
that's
neck.
That's such a lie.
You're
that's a lie.
My neck. There's no way. There's no way. My neck is as big as my waist. That, there's no way.
That. Okay. Who am I? Jessica Rabbit? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no fucking there's way. Like,
no way.
You're telling me I got a 22 inch waist. You're out of your fucking mind.
There's just no way.
There's no way.
So then if with that logic, if I took my necklace, I could put it around my waist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way.
No, there's absolutely no
just like they
no
say,
way.
Like from like your inner your elbow pit, that's what we call it, to your wrist. That's the size of your foot. There's no way my foot's that big. Do you think that one's true?
Well, I'll test it right now.
Put your little tiny feet up there.
That one might be true.
You think so?
It just looks big.
No one look at my forearms.
It just looks big, like perspective.
I feel like we've talked about this before, guys, but so I'm 5'4 and Drew's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
We have the same size feet. So on me, they're a little bit too big, and on Drew, they're way too small.
Yeah.
Like today she was trying on Birkenstocks and I was like, I don't like how tiny those make your feet look. It looks gross.
Some of you have noticed that though, like when I wear my Jordans and you can see a full body pic of me, they're like, your feet look so small.
Mm-hmm. And then for me, I have to make sure the shoes don't look like I'm wearing my dad's shoes, because sometimes 9.5 shoes will look like that on my feet.
Like we're both a 9.5. 9.5, sometimes a 10, depending on the size of the shoe.
But my feet are wide as fuck. Oh, we've talked about this. Wide, flat feet, as Drew describes me. And Drew's are small and dainty. I wouldn't know what that's like. But anyways.
You know what? God doesn't give with both hands.
It's true.
The neck thing, I've tried. I'm like, that only applies to a certain race.
I'm just like,
there's no way that applies to minorities.
Like, if you put both your fists around my neck, right? Like, I would think by that logic, you should be able to put that around my fucking waist.
Yeah.
Be serious.
Or like, they go like, the tiniest part of your waist. Nothing. Nothing about me is tiny. I could tell you that right now.
Not even my belly button. That's not tiny either. There's
my ring size is fucking big. Like
on what finger?
All of them, dude. So it's insane.
What's like, your ring finger?
All of my fingers, like my general ring size is like an 8 or a 9.
Me too.
Which is fucking big.
Is like, it really?
Yes, because some people
new
are
insecurity
like,
alert. New insecurity alert.
Unlocked. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm like a 5'6". Must be fucking nice. But see, my fingers are so skinny at the top. And I don't know if like it just they're just big body bends on the bottom. But like every stylist I've ever worked with has been like, are you sure this is your ring size? And I'm like, yeah, because it's like, I don't know. Is it a man's ring size? I have no fucking idea.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I know. Yeah. About an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, same.
So when I buy rings, I usually go for a 9 so they could fit on most all my fingers.
Same. Yeah. Same. Fucking same. That's ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
That's what I said. There ain't nothing small about me. Mm-hmm. No, you know what's the smallest thing on me?
Your feet.
No. Well, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say something, but never mind.
I know what you're going to say. See?
What?
I already know what you're going to say.
What?
My teeth. See? See? I fucking knew it. She goes, never mind. Yup.
Okay.
What were you gonna say?
My teeth.
Oh, okay.
Then I don't feel bad. We're on the same page. I don't even think your teeth are that little.
They're not in proportion to my face.
No, like they don't look like where I'm like, ooh, you know?
Yeah,
no,
they don't
you
look,
just got, compared to the rest of our family, I you have small teeth. Yeah.
Everyone's got fucking gnashers except me.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think all of us.
I wish I had bigger teeth.
Like, if you took all of the skin off our faces, like me, mommy, daddy, and Donnie, I think our teeth would look like those, like,
yeah,
those little toys.
Which is so nice. I love, like, people, like, big teeth.
Big, full body teeth.
Yeah. I think teeth are so nice when they look bigger like that. I wish my teeth were bigger.
You want to
if anyone says I have American Girl doll teeth, I will kill myself, so don't do that. Because I don't. I feel like those are teeth that you can see when your mouth is open and you can see the top two.
I don't think you have American Girl doll teeth.
No, I absolutely don't.
I think Squid does.
Squid has no teeth. It's kind of. He has no teeth, but he has the sharpest teeth. Like, you can't see his teeth at all.
Do you think he has like rows of teeth like a shark?
It feels like it when he bites me. He doesn't bite me. When
he's
he,
been
like,
being really nice to me recently. When he I nips. Think he's up to no good. I don't trust him.
That's because he thinks that's the lady who chases me. Like every time
I haven't chased him in so long.
That doesn't mean he forgot. That's why he gets excited when he sees you.
Yeah.
Because he knows he thinks you're going to play with
him. I know at the gym the other day, Billy was in front of me with him in the stroller. Yeah. And I was on the Stairmaster and waving at him and he was all... But yeah, that's our segment on body shaming ourselves. So,
yeah, well, I will say that's not an invitation to comment on my body.
I know.
Or my looks.
Y'all, come on.
I think that people get confused sometimes.
So like I can call myself a wide flat foot bitch, but I don't want to see you calling me that.
Yeah. You can relate to it.
And many of you have.
If you do.
Many of you have.
But you are not allowed to comment on mine. And that's like, I made that joke on the Zach Sang show about someone calling me wall-eyed. And then everyone in the fucking comments on TikTok were like diagnosing me, first of all. But second of all, like I wrote like, I like how you bitches think, like all of you people think that this was an invite to discuss my looks, and it fucking wasn't. Like, just listen to the joke and laugh. Like, you can like empathize with me and be like, oh my God, girl, that's crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, that would be my last straw, whatever. Like, that's silly. That's funny. But people like literally commenting on my looks, like, I promise you don't want to play that game with me.
Are people going onto your videos and being like,
yeah,
you kind of, but not, they're not saying it in a way where like men are, but they're saying like, yeah, I could see it. You are kind of wall-eyed. Or they saying, that's crazy.
And it's rude. It's like so rude. Like, and I know creators have talked about this before, but like, obviously like us, like our bodies are not, first of all, subject to commentary.
Especially as far because as like, we don't make content about our bodies.
Yeah. Like our content is not centered around our bodies. One, but two, like, I feel like there's this over familiarity sometimes people develop where they think like, oh, she's a funny bitch. I'm going to join in and be like, hey, you fatty. And you're not allowed.
Well, it's not only you're not allowed, but I don't know you.
Like, no, you're not allowed. I'm telling you, allowed to comment on my body and make fun of what I look like. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of mine, if you're a man, you're going to do it no matter what I fucking say. But like, if you're a man who hates me, but like, if you're a fan of a creator and they make fun of themselves in regards to their looks, I highly advise that you don't join in. It's not cool. You know what I mean? Like, we can laugh and we can make the jokes, but like at the same time, just like understand there are lines that you shouldn't cross. And I know other creators have talked about that too. But I just want to make sure, like, I'm going to make fun of what I look like because it's funny and I love myself enough to do it.
Just like if you know, we're all a little self-deprecating.
Yeah.
If you're making fun of yourself, what if I started making fun of that too? How would you feel?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not cool. So yeah, I feel like people who follow us on here know that. But
yeah,
just a blanket
statement. That's not even really for y'all. That's like for the masses.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens on TikTok when a bunch of random women find me. It's like when I started saying, like, responding to some of those comments, like, they were women who don't like me and don't follow me. Mm. And they just were like, yeah, you're right. She is kind of a fucking ugly bitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's weird. And that's rude. Anywho.
So there's that. All right. So on that note, we're going to get into some of these advice questions. This will be the last advice thing that we do.
Ish.
For now. We'll probably do it quarterly. I feel like that's a good check-in.
I think so.
With everyone. Yeah. Okay. So this first one's from, I think she pronounces her name, Paola. And she said, how did you guys deal with homesickness while in college? I'm graduating from high school next year and I want to pursue art and move abroad for work in college. My mom's family is so supportive and have pushed me to pursue my dreams and ambitions. But I feel like I might regret that decision because I grew up pretty close to my mom and her family, especially my grandpa. I feel like I'm making the right decision by choosing to move away from my family to grow more as a person.
Well, first, you are making the right decision. For sure you are. And you have a loving, supportive family. I think that's a great thing. I think especially now, like you're graduating from high school in this day and age, like accessibility is so much easier now than it was when I was in college. Like we talked about on one of the other episodes, like we didn't have FaceTime like that. We didn't have like, even really social media wasn't nearly as interactive and like I said, accessible as it is today. So, one thing that we did when we were in college is we had a standing date that we would always talk to each other, like, call, especially like, since, I mean, if you're moving abroad, like another country, you're going to be in a different time zone. Mm-hmm. And I was in a different time zone. They were in the same time zone, but I was in a different one. So we like picked a time, and a day that worked for all of us. And we would all like chat, like we would do a Skype.
We do call. I think we did Google
Hangouts.
Yeah.
And we did Skype a lot. Mm-hmm. And we had like a standing date and we would do it like
Sundays at like 6 p.m.
Yeah, something like that.
Like,
and only for like a little, but like just so we could all catch up. And that was like, as we got busier, we would move it and stuff. But and that was fine and natural. But like, that's a great start, right?
Yeah, I mean, dealing with homesickness is very real. I think we talk about this every time, but you should focus on building a community where you're going to school anyways with clubs and organizations and whatever
that will help.
That will help with deal with the homesickness. That's why I talked about like when I first moved, because I'm the oldest, I had to go first. Mm-hmm. I called my mom every day, like after every class I got out of for like two full weeks. And then she was like, why aren't you making friends and going to lunch with your friends and whatever. If you move in the residence halls, we talked about this before, they have activities, go to them.
Those are all great ways to kind of like acclimate so you don't feel as alone. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, also something that helped me if I was feeling homesick, like for example, my dad only ever listens to reggae like 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid growing up, I started to grow a distaste for it because that's all my dad would ever play.
Yeah, me too.
When I moved away, though, I missed my dad. I missed my family. Mm-hmm. So I started listening to it when I felt sad. And that made me feel better. And I fucking love reggae, like island reggae. I love, that's like one of my favorite genres of music. So, and it's a very cultural tie to us too. But that helped me, like watching movies or listening to music. That reminded me of my family when I was feeling a little homesick. And then also, like, don't be afraid to call and reach out. Like, whenever you feel sad, like, can't even tell you how many times I did that. Like, especially times when I was, like, really sick in school and stuff and I was alone in my room, I would call my mom and just cry.
Yeah.
I got my first UTI in college. Didn't know what was happening to me. Called my mom sobbing from the toilet because I was in pain. Don't recommend them. 0 out of 10 UTIs.
Don't get them. They're not, people say they're fun, but they're not.
If I could give this place 0 stars, I would. That's how every Yelp review starts.
But alas, I have to put 1.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have to settle with 1. That's how I,
so you feel about UTIs.
That's my review for UTIs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sometimes you just need your family. Sometimes you just want to talk to them. When you're away and if you have like a really close relationship with them. So yeah, I think that's my advice. What about you?
Same. Yeah. I think having little reminders around you that remind you of your family. And I think something I tried to focus on a lot, cause I think my dad told me this, was like, you're going to school for a reason and it's so temporary. I can't emphasize that enough to you. Like after my freshman year, I felt like then all of a sudden I was a senior. It flies by so fast. Just like high school.
It does. It goes by super duper fast.
So I think just making the most out of the time that you have there, that's how, just different ways to navigate homesickness. Like staying busy and focusing on you.
Yep.
Those are absolutely my ideas. But I'm super excited for you and I hope you do really well. And congrats. For next year, they're going to go to college. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, this next one's from Lissa. She said, I'm single and searching, but everyone I've talked to lately has given me the total ick. I even had the best date of my life and this man got me 2 dozen roses, but I just got the ick no matter who. I've been single for 3 years. You'd figure it wouldn't be this bad. Am I doing something wrong? Am I too picky? Is this my single era, even though I've been single for years? Help.
I mean, it depends. I feel like, I don't think you're too picky, but I do think, well, first I'll tackle one half of it. if you're getting the yick that easily, then that person's not the person. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? When you find the right person, like if you find an ick, it'll be down the road. And even then you're like, that could constitute as an ick, but it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, if you get so icked out that you like, you just dip out immediately, like that person is not a person you're supposed to be with. You know what I'm saying? Like, clearly the attraction, both physically and intellectually, is not strong enough to override something like an ick. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When it's strong enough, you're going to be like, that's weird. But
yeah, if your body has like this like violent reaction to what's happening,
then you just don't like them that much. I think that's okay.
You're saying you got on a good date and he did all this stuff or whatever, but you still got the ick. I feel like that's a projection of how you think of yourself almost.
Yeah. I mean, what was the ick? Was it the roses?
No, she didn't put it in here.
Okay. Well, then it depends on what it was, because like,
if he did that and then he's cutting his toenails in the car, then yeah.
Well, like, if I just mean like he could have done that and then done something later on in the night that she was like, you know what I'm saying? And like, again, the attraction is just not strong enough.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. It's not a beige flag.
Yeah, it's not a beige flag. It's not a kissing toll. So, but if it was the roses, then that is on you. Mm-hmm. And then, to me, I think that's when I tell people, like, why do you think love has to hurt or be aloof in order for it to be real? Because sometimes when it's awesome, people struggle to accept that because they're like, that's not real, because I've had these feelings before and I'm going to find something that I don't like about you because I'm going to run.
Literally you.
Literally me.
But not to that extent, but I think of like when you knew you were in love, like it's scary.
It's terrifying. And it's also like that, if that was what it was, or it wasn't anything at all, and you found a reason to run, then that is on you. Mm. And I wouldn't say anything's wrong with you necessarily. I just think that's what that says to me, is that you've had poor experiences in the past and your feelings are valid. And when things get a little too real and things seem a little too great, you find a reason to ruin it or to run away from it, because then at least you can control the ending, right? You're like, I chose to leave. Because falling in love is wonderful, and it's also a huge risk, like in many, many, many different ways. That's why a lot of people run from it for their entire lives, because it's terrifying to love someone and commit to someone and be there for someone. But it really just depends on what the ick was, if that's what it was. But that's why I said it's kind of a two-parter. It depends.
Yeah, it depends. There's layers there. But I think, too, in general, with dating, I feel like there needs to be a lot more self-reflection done before you're going out there.
Sure,
in terms of figuring out who you are and what you like. Because maybe you're just agreeing to go on dates with people because you want to just say, or not even say, but you just want to be able to go on dates.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
If you're, it's the same thing keeps happening. Maybe there is some self-reflection that needs to be done. But also, I don't think you can be too picky.
No way.
Do you know what I mean?
Especially if you date men.
Yeah.
No way.
I feel like we need to be pickier.
I don't think people are picky enough.
Yeah.
To be real.
So I don't think it's that. I just think maybe there's something that you could be doing for yourself that would make you feel more comfortable or have more fun on these dates. But if they're just a bad bunch, it's just a bad bunch. There's nothing wrong with that.
And like, I always think like when you're dating, if you see something and you don't like it, bye. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, what if he's a great guy? I don't care, because I saw something I didn't like. Mm. Bye. That's what I think. I that's how I dated. One thing, I'm out. Mm. No thanks. I'm good. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Like, men try to demonize women, but that's literally because they expect women to overlook shit all the time. And they do. And they do a lot.
I do think that there's a lot of really wonderful men out there, or partners, whatever you're looking for. I mean, Billy's a great example, but everyone's like, well, you know, how do you find him? And it reminds me of
all the time. That's like one of my most asked questions.
Not to bring up the show Jury Duty, because I'm going to bring it up as much as I can. But the main character, they couldn't believe how good of a person he was. Like, they put all these weird people around him, and he was so sweet the entire time. And they were saying, I couldn't believe it. And I saw someone saying, like, I know so many men like that. No, you don't.
So many
men? No, you don't.
Come on.
Why would the show would not, if we all knew 10 men like that, that show would not exist.
Yeah. Like, well, like, there wouldn't be a fascination with it.
Yeah.
Like, it would be real commonplace. Mm-hmm. it would be like, oh, well, yeah, of course he's nice because he's a man. Said nobody ever. Yeah,
I saw a TikTok about that. I'm all, there's no, like, there's a character they had one of the guys play where he loves to make inventions, but he's really weird and off-putting. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll write him notes. They have, like, a conjoining room.
He'll write
Ronald notes and send them under the door. And Ronald responds to every single one being patient and kind. And the guy makes these chair out of crutches, and then it's embarrassing in the courthouse.
Yeah.
But then Ronald's like, I showed him the movie A Bug's Life because it's about a guy who makes inventions and is pretty misunderstood, but I told him I believe in him. And the whole show is him, like, pumping him up.
That's sweet.
But that's what I'm saying. The first person I thought of was, he reminds me of Billy.
Yeah.
That's something Billy would do.
Yeah.
And be like, I like inventions. And then he would talk about, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, there are men that exist like that, but they're not as common as everyone says. So if you're weeding through a bunch of shitty ones because you want to find the right one, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. And I think
you're 5 feet from gold.
Yeah. You're that meme where he stops digging and there's diamonds back there. You know what I mean? Like, and another guy's still digging. But I think too, like, it's just with men, I'm like, I don't, if he just did something that you fucking hated and only did it once when you hung out for him like 5 hours and you just never want to see him again, who cares?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
You don't owe anyone anything.
No, yeah. Especially a stranger. Like, that person is a stranger. You went on a date with them one time. You hung out with them once. That's a stranger.
It doesn't make you a bad person because you don't like what he's doing.
Not at all. And if you don't like it, keep your standards high. Someone will meet them. But at the same time, you got to pay attention to what it is you're thinking and feeling and mm-hmm. make sure that you're checking in with yourself too. Because maybe sometimes you are running and maybe it's a valid reason why you would, but not necessarily the best choice for you, if that makes sense. So it really just depends on you, but I'm sure you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
You got it. Okay, this next one's from Hallie. She said, hey guys, I love your podcast and everything you do. I just had a baby 9 months ago. Congratulations.
Oh my gosh, congrats.
And I just started feeling like myself again. I used to do a lot of self-care and was kind of a bad bitch. And I miss doing all the things I used to do to look good. And I feel like I've had a glow down. Do you think it's possible to have a glow up well into your 20s?
You're looking at her, sister.
Into your 20s?
You're fine.
I'm not joking. I'm going to insert a photo here of me in 2021. That's what I used to look like. And that is because I was unhappy. I was lost and I was really, really scared. And I was like, I think the most depressed I'd ever been. Mm. It doesn't even look like me, dude.
And you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You're fine.
You have so much time ahead of you.
You also had a baby. So you're fucking good. You're chilling. I think that too, like, that's a pressure that we put on ourselves as women, but just as people who can give birth in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's like this immense pressure that is put on us both directly and indirectly of, like, you know, like snapping back, like, quote, snapping back or like bouncing back or whatever.
Not the fuck, giving up on your body.
Yeah, whatever the fuck they want to characterize it as, when really it's just like an aggressive and violent form of fat phobia.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you just gave birth to a person. Hey, you're good.
Mm.
Take your time, babe. Like, however long it takes for you to get back to you, I think you're owed that and you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think too, like, getting back, looking a certain way is one thing, but getting back to taking care of yourself, I think, is more important.
I think so too.
As like, you know, people who give, anyone who can give birth, right? It's like, obviously you bring a child into this world and then your whole life is about them, as it should be, which is a great thing. But at the same time, you also matter. So like, what your wants, needs, and ambitions and dreams on a larger scale, all of that still matters even after you give birth mm-hmm. to a child, right? So I would say, like I told the last person, like, just keep checking in with yourself and making sure that all your needs are being met.
Yeah.
And that you're prioritizing yourself in some capacity because you deserve it. And I don't want you to get lost in the sauce of being a parent and then ignoring your wants and needs, because those also matter even after you give birth. But got more than enough time, babe.
20s more than nothing, enough time. Yeah.
Congrats. You just pushed a human out. Congratulations. That's insane.
Okay, we're going to end with this one. I wish I could find it, but honestly, a lot of you asked the exact same question, which was, how do I set boundaries with people?
Girl, I don't fucking know.
Well, I'll use us as
shit,
a good,
I don't know.
We'll do us as a good example. Because okay. I feel like we're really good now. I think
With each other?
With each other.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, because this is like tangible for them.
Gotcha.
So like, we were just talking about this and I cried about it. We were talking about our boundaries. Mm-hmm. And Drew was saying, I feel like you don't maintain your boundaries, which I've also told Drew, and she also cried about.
Yeah.
Because it's something you know you're not doing.
Well, sometimes you don't even realize. Like like I told y'all, I thought being confrontational was holding boundaries, and it's not. No. They're two very different things.
Yeah. So
I let people cross my boundaries all the time.
Yeah. So Drew wanted to go to the mall yesterday to go shopping for some stuff for vacation.
Yes.
And I was so stressed about cleaning my house for my sweet little grandpa to come stay at while I'm out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, come on, it'll be fun. And I said, I really want to stay home because it's really important to me that I clean my house. And she said, okay. That's how we did it. But she's done it with me too. We've had bigger ones too, where I'm like, I don't like when that happens or whatever. You know?
I think how do you start? Check in, like literally ask yourself, what are my boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it's hard to differentiate them or to identify them and diagnose them. So first, like, for example, like my therapist actually gave me a worksheet.
Ooh, okay.
On how to communicate boundaries.
Nothing is more embarrassing than when they give you those worksheets and you have to fill them out.
Yeah.
Like mine was like irrational thoughts. What's one you have? And I have to write on there that everyone thinks I'm ugly. How embarrassing to write that.
You read it and you're like, I'm such a silly goose.
What the hell is wrong?
I'm such a, just a girl at the end of the day.
I'm literally just a girl.
I'm literally just a teenage girl.
So she gave you
a worksheet.
Okay.
And it had like, it had tangible examples on it of boundaries being compromised versus boundaries being met. Right.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
And like one example was someone asking you to drive them to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask you to drive them to the airport. However,
I think I did this worksheet too. That's
however, funny. You have something to do that is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and compromising the boundary, and it's a loved one. It's like someone that you love and care about.
Okay. So I'm asking you, come
they,
pick me up.
Yeah. They ask me for a favor.
Okay.
And you know, if you take them, you're going to be late,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to be late and you don't want to cancel,
mm-hmm.
but
you don't want them to be mad. More important to me.
But at the same time, you want them to know that you care about them, mm-hmm. and you do want to take them to the airport. However, it just falls on the wrong day.
Yeah.
So one situation, you tell them, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll take you to the airport. And you just compromise your own boundary.
Yes.
What that ends up doing is first of all, you're angry when you agree to it, mm-hmm. which is always, you're irritated. As soon as you hang up the phone, you're mm-hmm. irritated. But then you start to grow this resentment towards them. So you're like, the next time they go to the trip, I'm never taking them to the airport ever again. And you put this unrealistic expectation on them, even though they have no idea that you have something
it's
you want to do.
It's technically your fault. Yeah.
It's not necessarily your fault. I mean, because it's not your fault that they asked, but it is.
No, I'm saying it's your fault that you agreed to do it.
Yeah, that you didn't communicate.
Yeah.
So, because it doesn't make you a bad person for asserting a boundary. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. That's the differentiator. So the second scenario is you tell them, I would love to take you to the airport. However, I do have something I need to do. So if you want me to take you, then we need to leave at this time. But if you want to leave later, then I can't take you. So it's like you give them options. First, you tell them that you care about them, which mm-hmm. is important, because for me, I suffer from really terrible, irrational thoughts about my family thinking I fucking hate them if I don't want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So like, no matter how many times they tell me, it's okay if you don't want to do it. Yeah. I'm like, they're mad at me. And my family's don't get it twisted. My family is the only people I care about that. Anyways. So, and you assert upfront that you do want to help them, but then at the same time, you also assert that you have something that's non-negotiable.
Okay.
Right. So you give them options, and that helps both of you make a measured decision.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll be like, oh, okay, great. I actually can leave at that time. Or they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know you had plans, right? I'll ask somebody else to take me, mm-hmm. right? And then the hardest part is you accept the answer and you don't offer to take them. If the answer is, I can't leave at that time. I'll ask somebody else. You just say, okay, let me know if it works out. And that's it. You don't apologize.
Oh, I was going to say, no, I would have put, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you don't apologize. You can if you want, but my therapist says that that builds bad habits when you apologize for things that you didn't do.
Like Ed Sheeran? The song Bad Habits.
Oh, I didn't get that. As a Sheerhead, I should have known. I know. I thought you were saying don't.
Isn't that the name of that song?
He has a song called Bad Habits, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He has also has a song called Don't.
There you go.
Anyways. So, like, it's the hardest part for me is accepting the answer after I assert the boundary.
Yeah.
So, like, I tell them, okay, like, they tell me, okay, I'll ask somebody else. And then I go, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm really, really sorry. And they're like, it's okay. And I'm like, actually, you know what? I can take you. That's what I end up doing every time.
Or I'll go, well, I can take you, but I could probably find someone else who can.
Okay. My therapist, like, on the worksheet, it literally says, okay, next time, hopefully I can take you. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You leave it like that. And then you remind yourself that you are also worthy of boundaries. Like, you're also worthy of your needs being met. My therapist always tells me, like, we start to, like, have these, like, freakouts or, like, stress or anything like that when our needs are constantly not being met.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so, like, when they're constantly being unfulfilled and compromised. See, okay, this is, like, this blew my fucking mind when she first told me. But she was, like, your fear is coming off as, like, selfish or mean or entitled or whatever, right? And I'm, like, yeah. And then she goes, okay, or like rude or whatever. Oh, yeah. When your needs are constantly being crossed or not met, their boundaries are being crossed.
Unacknowledged, yeah.
Yeah, like you're just constantly unfulfilled in that way. You end up churning into the person that you're afraid that you're coming off as. Because then you start getting bitter. So you start getting snippy. You get like irritated. Like let's say you go and pick them up from the airport and you're like, you get stuck in traffic and then you're in a bad mood and then you're talking shit. And it's just like, it turns the whole energy sour. And then it's like, why'd you take me if you knew I had something to do? And if you had something to do, why did you offer to take me? Cause then you start taking it out on that person and they don't even know. Right. Mm-hmm. So she blew my mind. And she was like, if you really think about it, you end up turning into the person that you're so afraid of coming off as when you compromise your own boundaries because your needs are being met. So then you are upset. And you can't express how upset you are because it's not their fault, right? It's kind of on you. And so I was like,
just mic drop.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Since you got your degree and you think you know every fucking thing. That's what I tell you. But anywho, I would say to practice that way, right? And also explain that we overlook communication a lot of times. Like expressing if these people really love you and care about you and they also care about your needs, expressing that you have some or expressing your boundaries and saying like, hey.
Yeah, I'm trying to be better about expressing my boundaries. So that's what we say to each other.
I'm a work in progress. I'll tell you that much.
Shut up.
Well, like I wish I had a better answer for you, but I am actively working on that.
We both are, yeah.
If you have the means to do so, therapy is a huge, huge, huge reason why I've gotten better at working on it. Not quite there yet, but I am working on it. So that's my advice. Hopefully it helps.
I always think like if you're doing something you don't want to do, you can't get mad because you said you would
do
it.
You agreed to do it.
You agreed to do it. So I can't be mad at Drew because I told her I would take her to the airport.
Yeah.
But
you end up being mad.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can't fight it because you're upset because your boundaries are being crossed and you didn't assert them.
But you didn't communicate that. So I can't be mad at Drew. I should be mad at the man in the mirror. All right, y'all. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Listen, you got two long ones in a row.
I'm sorry.
And we're going on vacation and this is all I had in me, okay? I have nothing left. I had two breakdowns in the last 24 hours. Anyways, looking forward to vacay.
But I also want to say congratulations to all the grads. We keep saying that almost every episode, but I'm genuinely so excited for all of you that are graduating.
Yes.
And moving on to adult things. Very excited for you.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this episode, you could stream all audio episodes of this every week and listen to podcasts. And the video version is always on our YouTube channel. We will have a new prompt on our Instagram. So go make sure you look out for that. But other than that, we hope you have a great week and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.